This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
High formation, deep back one on guy, Williams under center, snap spin left, play fake Williams, deep drop, he scans, he unloads, deep ball for DJ Moore, inside the five, leaps in the end zone, over the shoulder catch, touchdown! The Bears walk-off winners! Finally, they rejoice in Chicago.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Oh, man, did I like that right there, courtesy of Westwood One. I am Rami Makhlouf with you until 9 o'clock here on The Score Evening Show, live from the Hyundai Score Studios and brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers on a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and Chicago Roofing Contractors.org. Joining me now to talk some Bears and Packers and NFL playoffs from the NFL Network and NFL.com on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Pleasure to welcome in Eric Edholm. Eric, how are you this evening, my man?
How are you? Are you ready for tomorrow?
I am on eggshells, Eric. I've been talking the whole first hour about the fact that I need this one, or I might be in a bad mood till baseball season starts.
I hear you. I get it. I understand. It's existential. I feel you.
Besides just advancing to the NFC divisional round of the playoffs, how much in your mind, like perception-wise, and what the Bears have accomplished this season and what they hope to accomplish moving forward, how much is riding on this game, not just being a playoff game, but being a playoff game against the arch-rival Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I mean, just this team has not had the success in the playoffs, certainly, in many years, right? And I think that's sort of the backdrop. Obviously, the Packers, even if they haven't been Super Bowl contenders every year, have been the big brother in the relationship. And I think some people probably watch the, you know, again, outside of the Midwest or whatever, watched that last game and thought, wow, this Bears team has some magic. But, you know, they did kind of get lucky to win that one. So I'm sure there's a little bit of natural suspicion. Is Caleb Williams really big time? Is Ben Johnson really that good a coach? You know, Matt LaFleur was having early success too, and now he's possibly coaching for his job. Who knows? You know, I don't know, but it's just a fascinating game with so many tentacles to it.
You know, Eric, and I don't blame you for it. I don't hold it against you. You just said what a lot of people have said about that win, and really about both of these games, that the first one the Bears almost won, and the second one they did win
right
on that pass in overtime. A lot of people pointing to the fact that the Packers have dominated, you know, six quarters of the eight that these two
right
have played. I kind of shrug that off and go, well, a football game is four quarters, and if you're not the better team for four quarters, well, you just were the better team for that particular game. Do you think there is something to the fact that the Packers have been the better team for the majority of the time played in these two games?
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at the prior matchups, right? I mean, I can think of examples like a couple years ago, I guess Tom Brady was still playing, and the Saints had dominated the Bucs in both matchups. Come playoff time, Brady showed up and did his thing, you know, and beat him. So, I mean, I'm sure there are, you know, dozens of examples of that in the past, but it's hard not to have your, you know, what you saw before influence what you're thinking could happen on Saturday night. Now, obviously, a little bit of different lineups and such. We don't know exactly some of these injured players, whether they're going to go or not. And obviously, you know, Jordan Love got knocked out of that first or that second game, rather, and his backup may not be available. So, you know, there's potential for this thing to go sideways fast, too. But, yeah, I think it does influence the way you look at the game, and just that one way or the other, the Bears are probably going to have their hands full. You know, I mean, I think they absolutely can win. And I also think the Packers have shown that they can beat them head up. And, you know, this could be coming down to one or two key moments late in the game.
Talking with Eric Edholm of NFL.com and the NFL Network here on the Score Evening Show. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Friday night. Does this one come down to who has the better quarterback out on the field on Saturday night, Eric, or is there more to it than that?
I mean, that's a great place to start, right? Often does. You know, and Caleb has certainly had his moments this season and taken a step forward. I think everybody has to be pleased with the development, you know, that taking hits far fewer than last year. Turnovers are low, touchdowns are up. The whole thing looks like it should more often than not. And it's a big testament to what Ben and his staff have done this year. And I think he absolutely has the ability to turn in a good game on Saturday. But, you know, Jordan Love is the harder one to maybe predict, even if Caleb's a little up and down. I think Jordan, there might be even more variance with him, especially coming off the injury and having time off. Now, he could have played last week, but still, you know, you don't know exactly what you're getting. The Packers will have a pretty full complement of receivers. Wicks is out, but pretty much everybody else looks like they're going to go. And, you know, obviously giving up those explosive plays has really got to be the most pressing issue on the defense's mind. You know, you want to get pressure, but you don't want to be giving up those 50-yard bombs to Christian Watson and Dubs and stuff. So, that, you know, there's a give and take there. How aggressive do they get?
You mentioned the choice to sit Jordan Love last week, even though he missed the prior two games after entering concussion protocol. What did you think of that choice by Matt LaFleur? And if you're a Packers fan going into this one, is rust a concern in this football game for their quarterback?
Yeah, I kind of understood it from a standpoint of, well, if we're not going to play Josh Jacobs and we're not going to play this guy and we're not going to play that guy, why are we putting, you know, Jordan out there in front of a shell of an offensive line and backfield and the whole bit? So from that perspective, I think he probably felt good enough about the work done behind the scenes and, okay, you know, let's just carry this thing through. But, you know, to your question, it's hard not to think that that couldn't be a factor. You know, I'd have to sort of go back and look at I don't honestly know. You know, he did miss that time a little bit last year, too. Yeah. Came back after Willis started a few games. But Love's career has been streaky. Some patches have looked good, like to the point where you felt he earned that contract. Other stretches where you think, was that a mistake? Did they overextend on him? You know, so this is a huge game for him as well.
And in his last two playoff losses, Jordan Love has thrown five interceptions. Do you think that's just a young QB at that time with not a lot of playoff experience? And did you see anything in him this year in the regular season that makes you think you get a different version of Jordan Love in the playoffs than what the Packers have gotten the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, correct me if I'm wrong, I think his first game was that tremendous game against the Dallas Cowboys, who hadn't, you know, been beaten at home or whatever. And so, I mean, they were they went in there and were a buzzsaw. So for him to kind of revert a little bit after that is a little disappointing. But if I remember also against the Niners, he was playing great up until that fourth quarter when he threw the two picks. So again, it's like good Love, bad Love. You know, you kind of get two sides of a coin with this guy, and it's hard to know. But, you know, I thought this season when he beat the Steelers and went up against Rodgers and just seemed to have a coolness about him, I thought, man, maybe he's turning the corner. And, of course, it didn't quite work out that way, and they've had some receiver issues and things like that and offensive line trouble. So there have been some things standing in his way, and I think Jacobs has been playing hurt all year too. He hasn't had that same explosiveness. So, you know, Kraft missing half the season, that was a big one for them. I mean, Kraft and Parsons are their two kind of unicorns on each side of the ball.
Yeah, talking with Eric Edholm of NFL.com and the NFL Network here on the Score Evening Show. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Friday night. Both these defenses go limping into this game, Eric, both in terms of their health and in terms of just their performance here the last few weeks. Do you look at one and have any level of more belief than you do in the other one, or do you not have any belief whatsoever in either of these two defenses?
Yeah, that's a great question. No, I mean, I was sort of thinking about how to pick a score, and I was kind of thinking, well, maybe it's going to be a little lower end, but, you know, you never know. Obviously, with the defenses, like you said, and kind of the shape they are, and, you know, obviously kept the score manageable against Detroit, gave the offense a chance to come back. San Fran was a different story. You know, I mean, there's moments where you think they can survive some of these big plays and still be okay. Other times, not so much. You're still kind of dependent on turning the ball over. And that is the one superpower of the two teams that stands out. Like, that's the one thing that I'm not sure with Parsons hurt that the Packers have that one kind of game-changing element defensively. I thought some of those reserve defensive linemen looked pretty good in week 18, but how much of those guys going to play? I don't know. You know, it really does come down to if they can get a push up the middle and stunt the Bears' run game, get them into a passing mentality. And the thing about Ben, too, is, you know, in the playoffs, he's gotten more pass happy typically in the last couple Lions games. So I'll be watching the ratio. Are they going to stick with the run? Are they going to feature it? Are they going to kind of hold back a little and get them on their heels? That's, you know, it all depends on how they feel about that Packers secondary.
That leads me right into my next question, Eric, which is when you have two bad defenses going in, do you think both these offensive-minded head coaches come in thinking, we have to establish the run game and win the time of possession game in this football game tomorrow?
Yeah, you can bleed it down too, right? I'm sure, you know, the Bears will be totally fine with 7 and 8 minute drives. Like, if they can do that, and they have done that at times this season. So obviously, especially in the scripted opening drive, you get something going early. You don't have a quick three and out. What a statement to make. We can run the ball tonight. You know, we're going to run the ball tonight. And it does sort of creep into the defender's mind every time. So yeah, no, I mean, I think Green Bay defensively is obviously going to be on its heels a little bit, but I don't know that they're going to be able to generate a ton of big plays outside of the Bears giving it to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How big of a boost do you think it is? It looks like Rome Odunze and Kyler Gordon are back for the Bears in this one. And those are two guys they haven't had for the previous two matchups. And I think they missed them in those two. How much of a boost do you think that is for this Bears team, if indeed both those guys are back on the field?
Yeah. How explosive is Rome? Is it just going to be a sort of a pitch count, third down kind of a role, or is it full bore? You know, I'll be curious to see how they, you know, does anything flare up during the game? Obviously, you worry about that a little bit, but, you know, having Gordon too, especially given, you know, some of the secondary issues we've seen, huge boost. And, you know, he's a tough customer, I think. So I'm curious to see how he fares. But yeah, I mean, I picked Bears 24-23. That was my choice. And it came down to, yeah, splitting hairs. I think it's going to be a tough game.
You're my second guest tonight and the second guest to predict a 24-23 game, and I don't know if my heart can take it, Eric. I don't know. I have high cholesterol. I don't know if my heart can take a 24-23 finish that, God forbid, should come down to the last snap of the football game.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, that would be a Packers touchdown going for two or something like that, right? And that would be that. Let's up it just a little bit. Let's make it a little more dramatic here, you know?
Eric, in most years where you have a first-year head coach and a second-year quarterback and you're just trying to build towards something, I wouldn't give the Bears or the Packers, for that matter, given the health of that roster, much of a chance of winning a Super Bowl. But this year's playoff field is so wide open that short of the Panthers, I wouldn't be entirely surprised, much less shocked, if anybody came out of the AFC or NFC side of this thing and brought home the Lombardi Trophy. Is that overstating how wide open this playoff field is this year?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you can eliminate a couple teams probably as being serious, real, actual contenders. But yeah, I'm with you, especially with no Chiefs in the field, no Ravens, no Lions, no Bengals, Burrow, whatever. You know, I mean, just some of the quarterback star power is gone. I think there's an opportunity for other quarterbacks like Caleb in his first start here, and Drake May and other guys like that to, you know, to sort of grab the void a little bit. Now, Josh Allen's the wild card, but how good have the Bills looked lately? You know, can they crank it up? There's just so many of those questions. So I think it applies as much to the, I mean, again, I don't know if either of these teams are realistically winning the Super Bowl, like you said. I don't know that I would put them in the definite contender list, but they're above the bottom tier for sure.
Last one for you, Eric Edholm of NFL.com and the NFL Network. Would a loss tomorrow take anything away from what the Bears did this year, what they've built, what they're working towards? Or do you look at this Bears team, no matter what happens tomorrow, as a team that took a big step forward and looks to have a bright future behind Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams?
Well, I've lived here a while. I came and I've had family here since the day I was born. So I feel like even if this isn't the city I was born in, I know it pretty well. And it would be hard to avoid it's 2018 all over again headlines. I mean, those would come out, and how long they would last, I don't know. Maybe it's the story that lingers, like the kicker situation after that season. But point being, I mean, it's hard not to look at the parallels, like you said, first-year head coach, second-year quarterback, unexpected success, you know, rousing fan support the whole bit, young nucleus, you feel good. It didn't really end up that great. So hard not to put those two parallels together, especially if it were to come down to a last-second play. But, yeah, I mean, if you're realistic about the situation, all the things we talked about, Caleb's development, you know, Luther Burden and Colston Loveland turning into weapons, Kyle Manongai, you know, the offensive line doesn't feel like a weakness anymore. And now you can target some spots on defense and other places and feel good about the roster this offseason. So,
you have to
be optimistic in the future, what we have right here.
I lied when I said last question, because you just brought another question to mind.
All right.
You brought up Manungai and Colston Loveland. You throw Luther Burden in the mix. You throw in Ozzie Trapillo, who's been their left tackle for the second half of this season. You cover this league as a whole. You cover the league at large. Does anybody have a rookie draft class that's had as much of an impact as those four guys have for the Chicago Bears? Because looking around, I can't think of one, but I'm pretty hyper-focused on the Bears doing what I do.
It's a great question. No, I mean, off the top of my head, the Patriots have done – their top four picks really hit, too. You know, they have gotten plenty out of Travion Henderson and Will Campbell, Jared Wilson. Both were starting on the offensive line, forgetting the other one there in the mix. But – another offense. Oh, yeah, Kyle Williams, the receiver, who's been a little less productive. So maybe not quite as much, depending on how you weigh an offensive lineman's value. But, yeah, they've absolutely knocked it out of the park so far. And, you know, the question is now, like, what's Loveland's ceiling? I mean, is he, like, could he be a Travis Kelce-like player one day? I wouldn't rule it out. You know, I'm not saying he's first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm just saying, like, that type of player, we're already kind of seeing it. Burden's been great. Manungai he should never have gone in the seventh round. That was ridiculous. So they really hit for value and upside as well.
There is Eric Edholm. Check out his work at NFL.com. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. Always a pleasure to talk some football with you, Eric. Enjoy your weekend. And I know you took a break from watching that college football playoff game to join us. So really appreciate it. Go enjoy the game and have a great weekend.
I had one eye on it. I was doing double duty. Thank you, man. Have a great night. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, Eric. And he joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Let me tell you real quick what we got going on here on the Score. Are you a local business owner or employee? How would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 60 right here on the Score? Here is your chance. We've brought back the Score Big for Your Business contest, where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on the Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 60 from Westwood One. And new this year, you can win a live broadcast for your brand. Just log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Deadline to enter is January 18th. Score Big for Your Business is sponsored by People's Bank, where better banking keeps moving forward. Member FDIC. If you're wondering what's going on in that college football playoff game, no need to turn off the radio or to go and try. And I'll tell you, it's 14-7 Indiana right now with about 40 seconds left to go in the first quarter. So I'll keep you up to date and keep you abreast of what's going on in that game all night long right after this. So we talked about the ramifications if they win, if they lose in this game tomorrow against the Packers. How do they win? And how do they lose? Let's talk about that right after this. Rami Makhlouf with you on The Score on a Friday night and back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mom, I like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators. Keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Ground game can be punishing. See if they get to it. It is the run to the right. And there goes Manunga. Kyle Manunga across midfield to the 47-yard line. The rookie seventh-round pick out of Rutgers. Where have you heard that before? Manunga with a big run there.
Isaiah Pacheco right here is what it looks like. Of course, Manunga is Mr. Inside for this team. A top 10 runner between the tackles. And then they've got DeAndre Swift, who's a top 10 runner outside the tackle. So that was what I was talking about. Once you see that start to happen, then the play action comes around.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
With you until 9 o'clock on the eve of Packers and Bears in the wild card round of the NFL playoffs tomorrow from Soldier Field. We'll get a look from the other side of this thing with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. He'll join me coming up at 8 o'clock. It's just you and me till then, and producer Sean Sears at 312-644-6767. You want to get in on the conversation. You can answer the question I was asking in the first hour of the show. How badly do you need the Bears to win, and more specifically, not lose to the Packers? Because it will ruin my mood until baseball season, at least, if they lose this one. You can get in on that conversation. But also wanted to get to the game itself. and ask you what makes you confident headed into this one, and what concerns you about this matchup between the Packers and the Bears tomorrow. Again, want to talk with Bears fans, score listeners at 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on the conversation. There's two things. Now, so I'm going to start with the things that concern me. I'm going to get the bad out of the way and then cheer everybody up with the good, because there is a lot of good. There are a lot of reasons why I think the Bears can and will win this football game tomorrow. But there's two things specifically that worry me about this game and that I think could ruin the Bears' chances of winning it. And they're both sort of intangibles that I think, to some degree at least, are in their control. These are things that the Bears can control themselves, and areas where they've shot themselves in the foot in previous matchups, in previous games, and specifically in matchups with this Green Bay Packers team. The first one is the slow starts. And we saw it again last week. Second time in three games that they scored 0 points in the first half. And not only 0 points, they barely had the football. They barely had the football in that game. And that problem is twofold. You know, we like to break football down into three phases and look at the offense and look at the defense. The reality is it's a complementary sport. What the offense is doing affects how the defense plays, and what the defense is doing affects how the offense plays. Obviously, the Bears defense couldn't get off the field, and that's been a problem all season long. They just can't get off the field on some of those third downs. And that in itself is going to affect how the Bears move the football in the first round. But that offense itself, not effective when they get the football in sustaining drives and staying on the field. I don't think you can do that in the playoffs, period, starting with this game tomorrow against the Green Bay Packers. And the first time that these two teams met, the offense did nothing in five first half drives. They had penalties that canceled out long third down conversions. They did that twice. They then had two drives that totaled 9 plays for 27 yards. And that was in between a 14 play 59 yard drive that ended with a red zone field goal. And in their rematch at Soldier Field 3 weeks ago, they did move the football on the first drive. If you remember, they went 70 yards downfield in 10 plays. They got it down to the 4 yard line, and then Ben Johnson got a little cute. And I haven't taken issue with much of what Ben Johnson has done this year, including his play calling. There have been times where I felt like he got away from the run game. This was the one play maybe all season where I face in hands and just asking, what are you doing? When he lined up Kyle Manungai in the Wildcat and the snap goes right over his head, the Bears score 0 points in that first half. And thanks to two long Green Bay drives that ended in field goals, they only had two more possessions in that first half. So you can't get off to these slow starts. You just can't. And the other thing that concerns me about this game tomorrow between the Packers and the Bears, and asking you what makes you confident headed into this one and what maybe concerns you a little bit, 312-644-6767, are penalties, which I thought they had figured out.
Because
in the first half of the season, they averaged almost 9 penalties per game. They brought that number down to just under 5.5 per game, but there was one outlier. And that one outlier was week 16 against these Packers. They had 10 penalties, including 3 15-yard personal fouls and some really dumb 15. I didn't think the Austin Booker hit on Jordan Love was dirty by any means. I didn't think it should have even been a penalty, but it was. The play to start the game, I'm drawing a blank on the linebacker who jumped on the pile on the kickoff return
for DeMarco 50, Jackson.
DeMarco Jackson, thank you, Sean. What are you doing? I understand everybody is amped up dude, control yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you have to keep a level head out there.
I loved it. It was so dumb, but I loved it. I was like, yeah, that's exactly. Kill him. Got him. Burn him down.
There was a part of me that was saying that, but also, what are you doing?
Right now, rationally, like, come on, man. You can't crowd surf the pile on. What are we doing here?
And this one could get chippy. This one could very well get chippy. Let them get the dumb penalties. And by the way, speaking of penalties, this officiating crew that they're getting on Saturday, the second most flags thrown over the course of the NFL season. So I think you have to be extra careful. Here's a little bit of Ben Johnson talking about that.
When your game is assigned to an officiating crew that's thrown the second most flags per game this year, is there any sort of special emphasis that's given to that throughout the week leading up to it?
Who on this crew is throwing all those flags? Like, this is an all-star crew of a collection of guys. So are we saying this particular collection has been second most?
Specifically Adrian Hill.
Right. So he's not the one actually doing it. Right. And so that's not a concern of mine. We're well-versed on all the officials that will be participating in this game. And like I said, we got to play a cleaner variety of football in regards to those 15-yard penalties that we had last time.
You switch the samples.
And I know what Ben Johnson is doing. He's concerned about the number of flags that this crew has thrown, but he doesn't want to get on the bad side of the refs before they even take the field on Saturday night behind closed doors. I promise you. Now, I'm sure he's preaching of playing clean, smart football no matter what, but I promise you the number of flags that this crew has thrown is a talking point, and he's telling them, you got to play extra clean. You got to play extra smart football on Saturday because this crew is a little flag happy. So those two things, the slow starts and the penalties, worry me a little bit in this one, asking what concerns you, what makes you confident heading into this football game. But there's a whole lot more that makes me feel confident and good about this matchup tomorrow. First of all, I just think the Bears are the better football team. Like, just they're, especially with all the injuries that the Packers have, I think the Bears are just the better football team. And earlier in the year, people were pointing at their schedule and saying they haven't really beat anybody. Well, the Bears were 3-2 this season against playoff teams with all five of those games since week 12. They're above 500 against playoff teams, and I don't know how many teams in the playoff field this year can necessarily boast that. But on the flip side, number 7 seeds, which the Packers come in as, are 1-9. Since the NFL expanded the playoffs to seven seeds. Now, the one win is the Packers a few years ago when they took down the Cowboys and did so in impressive fashion. But largely, number 7 seeds have just, it's been like a consolation prize of making the playoffs with no real shot of advancing. And I don't think this Packers team is much different from 7 seeds of years past. So I think the Bears are just the better football team. And specifically, when you look at the matchup of this Bears offense versus that Packers defense, and especially this version of that Packers defense, and I'll get to how bad they've been without Micah Parsons, but just in general, the Bears have averaged 4.7 more points this season than the Packers have allowed, 25.9 to 21.2. Their offense holds almost a 60-yard advantage in yards gained per game versus yards allowed per game by Green Bay's defense. Chicago averages 5.8 yards per play. Green Bay gives up 5.2 yards per play. They had the third-ranked rushing attack this season, averaged 144 rushing yards in their two December meetings with the Packers. And in their last three playoff games, or in Ben Johnson's last three playoff games as an OC, he's scored 31 points in all three games to go along with an average of 453 yards per game. This Bears offense should be able to dog walk that Packers defense up and down the field all night long tomorrow. If there is one unit that greatly outmatches the other, it's the Bears offense going up against this Packers defense, and especially without Micah Parsons. Now, they were okay. Honestly, they weren't even great. They were just okay with Micah Parsons out there on the field. They were 14th in EPA per play. They were 13th in success rate. With him off the field, they're downright terrible. They are downright awful. They fell to 29th in EPA per play and 32nd in success rate this season after Micah Parsons went down. And in the two games after he got hurt, they gave up 457 total rushing yards. Let me say that again. In the two games after Micah Parsons got hurt, now I'm not even counting last week because they sat all their starters last week, they gave up 457 total rushing yards. And one of those, as you probably know, was the Bears, who went for 150 on the ground against them and averaged almost 6 yards. And in week 16 and 17, Packers gave up over 3.5 yards before contact. Before contact per play. Like, they cannot stop the run right now. Just to put that in context, the Packers gave up over 3.5 yards per carry before contact. The worst team in the league in that category this year, the New York Giants, gave up less than 2 yards before contact per carry. They're giving up a full yard and a half more than a yard and a half more before contact when the running back gets the ball handed off to them. You should be able to come out early, establish the run, move the football, and if you don't have dumb penalties and you don't have those pregame jitters or whatever it is, early game jitters or just, you know, a cold motor. I don't know. I can't put my finger on what these slow starts are about. You should be able to put up a ton of points on that Packers defense. So the two things that concern me a little bit, slow starts and penalties. The thing that makes me feel really good about this game tomorrow night is the Bears are just a better team, and especially when their offense is out there against that Packers defense. Asking you what you're confident, what you're concerned about heading into this football game tomorrow. Let's talk about it. It's Packers and Bears wild card matchup from Soldier Field tomorrow. Get in on the conversation before I'm joined by Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette coming up at 8 o'clock. 312-644-6767. I'm Rami Makhlouf. Score evenings right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm rooted in the fundamentals, particularly on games like this. It's about blocking. It's about tackling. It's about catching the ball. It's about ball security. Things of that nature come out to the forefront. And so I'm more concerned with playing sound football, making sure that we're putting our guys in a good spot. I mean, we got a lot of talented players, and you just want them to play fast, play confident, and put them in good spots. And so that's what we're concerned about as a coaching staff. I've tried to be pretty steady Eddie just in terms of demeanor throughout the season, and that doesn't change here and now. That's my role, and you know, I think the guys are going to show up, and I think they're excited for this opportunity, and I'm excited to see them play.
We're back live with more Rami Metlaw on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me with you until 9 o'clock. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com will join me at 8 o'clock to take a look at this thing from the other side of the matchup between the Packers and the Bears tomorrow at Soldier Field in the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. Want to hear from you right now, asking you, what's the one thing that makes you confident about this matchup and what concerns you about this matchup? 312-644-6767 is how you can get in on the conversation. For me, the concern is the slow starts and the penalties, which have both reared their ugly heads in both matchups between these two football teams. And I just don't know in this game and in playoff football, period, that there's the margin for error for either of those things. To have 10 penalties, as they did the last time, including 3 personal fouls for 15 yards the last time these two teams met. And the slow starts are something that they got to figure out and got to figure out starting tomorrow. And what makes me confident is I think they should be able to figure it out. This is a terrible Packers defense that comes to Soldier Field tomorrow. And I know the Bears defense isn't all that much better, but one thing the Bears defense can do is generate turnovers. And that is not in the forte or in the tool belt of the Packers. So I think you have your greatest mismatch when your offense is out there against their defense in this entire game. I think in this entire game, the best unit versus unit mismatch is when the Bears offense is on the field against that Packers defense. So come out, start hot, control the ball, control the clock, get that running game going. Let Caleb Williams do some special things later in the game, in the flow of the game, and don't make the dumb mistakes, and you should be able to come out with a victory. The Bears are the better team. I think the Bears are the better team, especially with the injuries. Speaking of the Bears being the better team, I got a text here from the 815. Says, why are so many people picking the Bears to win when the Bears haven't looked good offensively or defensively in both games against the Packers? My concern is that Green Bay outplayed the Bears in both matchups. Bears were lucky to win at home with a magical ending. D can't play man-to-man. I can't disagree with what you're saying, that the defense can't play man-to-man. As I said earlier in the show, I happen to live and work in Milwaukee. I host a show up there on our sister station, The Fan. And the other thing that the texter there said is that Green Bay outplayed the Bears in both matchups, and the Bears were lucky to win at home with a magical ending. I don't look at it that way, man. And I've heard that a lot. I've heard that a lot from Packers fans living where I live and doing what I do of, oh, the Packers dominated the Bears for 6 of the 8 quarters that they played. And in the second one, dominated them for 58 minutes until that miraculous comeback, including an onside kick there in the final couple of minutes. Football is 4 quarters, man. And I don't care how much of those 4 quarters you dominate. If you don't come out with the victory at the end of the day when the clock strikes 0, you weren't the better team that day. And there's no luck involved. And even the onside kick, when you look at that, they're not that successful that often in the NFL. If there is a team you have a decent chance or a better chance at fielding an onside kick against than maybe the rest of this league, it's the Packers. They have one of the worst special teams units in this entire league. There's another phase where you have a pretty major mismatch with the Bears special teams and how much they've improved this season versus that Packers special teams, which if anything has declined and is again one of the worst units in the league. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't luck. Well, it was a mistake on the Packers' part, Romeo Doubs' part in particular, who couldn't hang on to that football. I don't think there was any luck involved with that. That was a team that was a unit specifically that on that Packers kickoff return unit that is not very good. And they're prone to mistakes and they're prone to not playing the best brand of football. I don't think the Bears got lucky. I don't think the Packers are the better football team, especially not without a Micah Parsons and a Tucker Kraft being out there, in addition to their other injuries. They're missing one of their best defensive linemen in Devontae Wyatt. The Bears are the better football team, and that's why they were able to come out on top in the second matchup, and that's why they were a Caleb Williams completion in the end zone away from winning the first matchup between these two football teams. Sean, did you guys hear that a lot this week, or was I just hearing that because I'm behind enemy lines, that the Bears were lucky and the Packers dominated them for six quarters? Because that rolls right off my back. I roll my eyes at that discussion.
I mean, it's always kind of that talking point, right, a little bit. But yeah, no, I heard it. I heard it. It was definitely from callers. I heard it from some even, you know, people here on the station. You know, there's definitely kind of a feeling, maybe not from, you know, directly from Bears fans, but maybe people thinking that Bears kind of got lucky in some of those games. You know, took them recovering a onside kick and a Hail Mary touchdown to win a game. You know,
well then don't drop the ball.
Hey man, recover. I mean, if it's so crazy, maybe recover an onside kick. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's that. What, eight onside kicks all year have been recovered? I think, or is that? I think I might be off, and that might be.
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay. I think that was it. It's like something like, yeah, it's crazy. Like people don't even try it anymore because it's so rare at this point. But yeah, no.
But yeah, that special teams unit for the Packers across the board, their field goal unit. Brandon McManus has sort of settled in a little bit and found his way, but their field goal unit, their punt and kickoff return units, across the board, they're just not very good in special teams. That was no coincidence. That was no luck that the Bears got that onside kick. That was just a bad play by a bad unit on that football team.
Don't give them a chance, man. That's all I got to say. Don't give them a chance.
Exactly.
If you're so upset about it, don't give us a chance to do that to you.
They left the door open, and that's not, when you leave the door open, that's not the better team on the football field on a given Sunday. Got to get to a break. On the other side, we will take a look at this thing from the other side of things. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf. It is the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, and back in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.